From the studios of Kootenai Co-op Radio, this is Deconstructing Dinner.
And welcome to Deconstructing Dinner, a weekly one-hour radio show that is usually recorded at Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY, in Nelson, British Columbia. However, today, Deconstructing Dinner is on the road, and this broadcast has been recorded in Toronto, Ontario, just prior to departing to the cities of Kingston, Ottawa, and then ending up in Montreal, where this year's annual conference of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the NCRA, will be held. I'm John Steinman. In light of the radio station hosting this year's NCRA conference being CKUT, it seems fitting to share an excellent documentary produced by CKUT's Charlotte Scott as part of today's episode. The production is titled Pigished, Industrial Hog Farming in Quebec. Recorded in May 2008, the production features the voices of authors Holly Dressel and Denise Prue, Benoit Giroir of the Union Paysanne, and Daniel Green of the Sierra Club of Canada, among others. One important update that anyone who visits our website might already be aware of is the latest from the GE Free Kootenays campaign that has been underway in the interior of British Columbia for just under a year now. The campaign, which has been documented as part of our GE Free Zones series here on the show, is seeking to create a region in the province that becomes and remains free of genetically engineered plants and trees. The group is requesting from local governments to adopt a resolution that declares in the form of a policy statement that the municipality opposes the cultivation of such foods. In November 2008, the city of Nelson was the first to adopt the campaign's GE Free resolution. They were followed by the village of Caslow in January 2009, and the latest community to join the ranks of GE Free regions in Canada is the city of Rossland, who unanimously voted in favor of adopting the resolution on May 11, 2009. That brings the total number of GE Free communities in Canada to 5, and the campaign will continue to work with more governments in the region. And you can stay updated on the Deconstructing Dinner website at deconstructingdinner.ca and selecting the image on the main page titled GE Free Zones. In March 2006, Deconstructing Dinner aired an in-depth look into the environmental and human health impacts of producing bacon, pork chops, ham, and any ingredients originating from North America's industrial hog factories. In an excellent documentary released in May 2008, Charlotte Scott of Montreal's CKUT put a more focused piece together on similar impacts of hog factories in the province of Quebec. Pigfish, as the documentary is titled, is a three-part series featuring environmental activists, voices from citizens' coalitions, and vintage tunes from Quebec's past. On today's episode of Deconstructing Dinner, we'll explore all three parts of the documentary, and on this part one, there is one section in French that is followed shortly after by the English translation.
Si la France a ses rillettes, son foie gras, ses crêpes, Suzette, la Belgique a ses gaufrettes, et Milan son escalope, Portugal a ses sardines, Toronto sa margarine, l'Espagne a ses mandarines, et l'anglais son mutton chop. Mais nous, on fait exception, au diable importation.
When it's spring in Montreal, one might notice a peculiar odor wafting through the air. It's pigfish in liquid form. Liquid manure from hog farms is sprayed onto farmers' fields in preparation for the growing season. At first glance, it seems like a good idea, completing a cycle of corn production, hog farming, slaughter, and export that defines much of Quebec's industrial agriculture. And yet, all is not well. Industrially raised pork are fed hormones and antibiotics that leach into local waterways. Lax regulation causes social conflicts and union woes. The vagaries of global economics have left the pork industry in deep debt to the people and to the environment of Quebec. Pigfish examines the current state of Quebec's pork industry, its effects on health, and looks at ways that rural communities are resisting the encroachment of factory farms and exploring alternative modes of agriculture.
Mais la tour, 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 la tourtière, qu'on savoure, voure, voure, tout entière. Et ça beau, ça beau, ça beau, pas vous plaire, je trouve ça beau, ça beau, ça beau, les tourtières.
Pork is one of Quebec's most important products. The latest statistics indicate the industry's worth at almost $3 billion. In 2005, the industry transformed 7.4 million pigs, 40% of whom were destined for markets in 60 countries worldwide. The industry employs 28,000 people in Quebec, all of whom are represented by the Union des Producteurs Agricoles. Pork is also a big player in Quebec's food culture. In the early 20th century, the provincial government fostered the industry for the sake of national food security, and later on, to secure export markets in the era of global free trade. Through a complex support system, the industry currently receives over $600 million a year in taxpayer funds. In early December 2007, a group of activists came together on the Kahnawake Reserve to talk about new research and citizen resistance to local hog farms. The meeting was hosted by Mohawk activist Stuart Mayo Jr. Denise Proulx will give us a brief introduction to the problem of hog farms in Quebec. She recently co-wrote and edited Porcherie, a comprehensive portrait of industrial pig farming, published by Éco-Société.
En fait, Porcherie, c'est où en est rendue l'agriculture aujourd'hui au Québec. On a pris l'exemple du porc, mais on pourrait regarder ce qui se fait dans les élevages de bovins, les grandes fermes laitières, les élevages de poulets, et probablement qu'on trouverait au niveau des impacts environnementaux, sanitaires, sociaux, culturels, économiques également, probablement des résultats assez semblables à celui du porc. Le problème, c'est que ces productions-là sont beaucoup moins suivies et par les citoyens et par les médias pour la simple raison que pour le porc, quelle a été l'alerte? Ça a été les odeurs, les insupportables odeurs qui ont fait en sorte que ça a été l'élément déclencheur où les gens, les citoyens ont pris conscience qu'il y avait un déséquilibre total. Et de là, ils se sont mis à observer leur milieu de vie.
This problem became noticed with pig farms is that, first of all, there's the horrible odors associated with it. So that's what kind of alerted people in the areas and in the public that there's something going on that is not quite right. From there, people started to take a look at what's happening in our water courses and what's happening in the environment, trees getting cut down and the quality of water going down. And another point that Denise made is that agriculture is a big part of the French-Canadian, the Québécois identity, the experience of, it's a big part of our history and culture even. But that now it's become defined strictly in economic terms and that this is sort of deforming the way agriculture is done here because it's seen strictly as a source of money as opposed to everything else that it's supposed to contribute to a community.
Ça nous a permis de grandir et qui fait qu'on est aussi aujourd'hui des êtres connectés à notre nature.
That was Denise Proulx addressing a congregation of activists on the Kahnawake Reserve in December 2007. Next up, we'll hear about the environmental aspects of industrial pig farms from Holly Dressel. She's a renowned author and environmental activist.
My name is Holly Dressel, and I've written a couple of books on the environment with David Suzuki. And I'm also involved in particular issues in Quebec. I work with a group called the Haute-Saint-Laurent Rural Coalition, which is part of another coalition called the Alliance Communautaire, which operates out of Kahnawake. And all the groups in southern Quebec come and meet there on Mohawk territory with the help of the Mohawk to work on industrial farm issues because the Mohawk Reserve is in a basin that all the water drains into. So they're kind of concerned. And I'm also a founding member of something called BFF, the Beyond Factory Farming, which is an umbrella group for all the anti-industrial farming groups in Canada.
All these coalitions of citizens, of Indigenous people, are in opposition to industrial factory farms. What we're talking about today is pork farming or pig farming. Why? What is it exactly about these industrial pig farms that have people so angry?
way back when David Suzuki and I were doing a series called Naked Ape to Super Species, I was trying to find examples of behavior that humans have, industrial behavior, social behavior, that is really destroying the Earth, so that I could use a good example, and that we don't have to do. That it's just a kind of social decision we've made. It's a really bad one, and we have to stop doing it, and that it does all these things wrong. And David and I lit upon industrial hog farming. It was perfect. I mean, obviously people can argue about global warming and the burning of fossil fuels, but that is one thing. Industrial farming is the major industry that contributes to global warming, more than cars. It's industrial farming. Huge use of fossil fuels. It has all kinds of ramifications besides these human health ramifications. The cruelty I mentioned. There's also a social ramification. They destroy communities. They're like the Walmart of farming. They, you know, create stenches that have to be smelled, to be believed, that have been proven to just the stench itself makes people crazy. Increases asthma within several kilometers of a large hog farm by 4 times. In a country like ours with a public health care system, this is very significant and very worrisome. That's saying nothing to what it's doing to the water supply. What it's doing to the water supply is absolutely hair-raising. So there's fossil fuel use, global warming, cruelty, blah, 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 everything. It is one of the most unsustainable practices you could ever work on. I mean, if you're going to sit down and say, let's do something really nasty and unsustainable and ghastly, hog farming would be it.
You're listening to Pigfish, an information series on industrial pig farming in Quebec. Industrial hog farming has evolved from a sustainable model of small-scale farms to a complex system that often leaves farmers at the bottom of the social and economic ladder, while middlemen, lobbyists, and government officials profit from environmental and social inequalities. Benoît Girouard is an organic farmer and a spokesperson for Union Paysanne, an organization that acts to support the rights of small-scale farmers in Quebec.
Donc, l'Union Paysanne existe depuis maintenant bientôt 6 ans. Elle est surtout venue au monde pour 2 grandes raisons. La première a été ce qu'on a appelé la crise porcine.
Union Paysanne formed 6 years ago for 2 reasons. First was the pork crisis. The second was the monopoly of the Union des producteurs agricoles. Quebec is the only place in the world where farmers cannot choose their own union. They must join the UPA. Union Paysanne is the opposite of the UPA. We defend the rights of small farmers.
Donc l'Union Paysanne défend, fait la promotion de la petite ferme, de la paysannerie, de l'agriculture biologique. Alors en ce sens-là, on est complètement l'opposé de l'UPA.
Est-ce que vous pouvez parler un petit peu de comment la mondialisation... Can you explain how globalization has changed the local agroeconomy?
Cette espèce de ce libre marché, ces échanges mondiaux, ça permet justement aux grandes corporations du monde de jouer partout. Et en ce sens-là, ce qu'ils font maintenant, et c'est ce qu'on vit, c'est qu'ils sont en train de mettre la main sur le système alimentaire. Parce qu'ils font jouer...
Free trade and global markets allow the world's large corporations to operate everywhere. What we are now experiencing is that these companies are interfering with the food cycle by playing farmers against one another all over the world. If you cannot provide the lowest price to the 4 or 5 big buyers, say at the Marché Central, they will go to the lowest seller in California, Mexico, Costa Rica, anywhere within 48 hours. Farmers have no negotiating power. They can't sell at a fair price. Corporations are in control.
Ce qui fait que les agriculteurs n'ont plus aucun pouvoir de négocier des prix convenables.
Currently, we export pork all over the world, and we are left with the problems. Excess manure, problems with social cohabitation, and the integration of young farmers into the industry are all big problems. The way pork is made does great damage to Quebec's agricultural fabric.
L'intégration auprès des jeunes agriculteurs. Donc, le porc actuellement, dans sa façon d'être fait, est extrêmement dommageable pour le tissu agricole.
Qu'est-ce que c'est un agriculteur? What is an integrator, for example, a company like Olimel, and how do they work within the industry?
L'intégrateur, en gros, il vient vous fournir une espèce de contrat, c'est-à-dire qu'il vous devenez, bon, premièrement, vous perdez tout à fait le sens profond qu'on attribue à ce que c'est que d'être un agriculteur.
An integrator makes a contract with the farmer. They'll say, we'll supply the buildings, the pork, etc., and in return, I'll buy all your product.
Et en contrepartie, je te promets que j'achète toute ta production.
The farmer becomes a farm manager. You produce a commodity for the integrator.
Un produit pour un intégrateur, qui vous fournit les intrants et peut, et même vous construit les bâtiments.
How did this system come about? Basically, it's because there's no money in agriculture. Our government has let things slide to such an extent that only large-scale industrial operations are economically feasible, because as they say, the lowest price is the law.
Tellement laissé aller les agricultures nationales que maintenant, à moins d'être d'aller faire de la grosse agriculture, on parle de très gros volumes, vous ne pouvez pas être concurrentiel parce que la politique du plus bas prix est celle qui règne.
However, if consumers pay the lowest price, the lowest price goes to the producer, the person on the farm.
Les prix les plus bas pour l'alimentation, ça veut dire que la personne qui produit ce panier d'alimentation-là ben, est celle qui reçoit le plus bas prix. Donc, voyez-vous, c'est là qu'elle est la chaîne.
So the integrator, by virtue of the large volume of pork they can move, can offer the prices that sell on the global market. To have access to this market, a farmer is forced into business with the integrator. Currently, about 60% of pork production in Quebec is integrated.
60% de toute la production du porc au Québec qui est sous intégration.
Les subventions du gouvernement, est-ce que cet argent...
Do government subventions go to the farmers?
Oh non, non, c'est les intégrateurs. Dans le parc, c'est le scandale.
Y a des no, qu'on appelle it goes to the integrators. That's the scandal.
Mauvaise, par exemple. Et on a des intégrateurs qui, dû au volume...
Through insurance programs, large integrators have pocketed millions of dollars. That's the scandal because they're not farmers. They're businessmen, harvesting insurance money meant for farmers.
Et qui récoltent les subventions qui auraient dû aller aux fermiers, par exemple. Mais en même temps, d'un autre côté, c'est le modèle aussi qui fonctionne plus.
The model simply does not work anymore.
On peut pas non plus tout critiquer, là.
Comment est-ce que ce système a affecté?
How has this system affected social life in the countryside?
Les individus dans le pays.
C'est pas compliqué. En 1971, il y avait au Québec 60 000 fermes. Aujourd'hui, 30 ans plus tard, il n'en reste que 26.
In 1971, there were 60,000 farms in Quebec. Today, only 30 years later, only 26,000 farms remain. This means that in 10 to 15 years, we'll fall below 20,000 farms. Our agriculture literally is disappearing. Quebec farms are disappearing 10% faster than anywhere else in Canada. And we have to hold the government responsible. Those whom we asked to manage the state, and they are not doing their work. They have turned our agriculture out to pasture, to fend for itself on the world market.
Ils n'ont pas fait leur travail. Ils ont laissé notre agriculture en pâture au libre marché et à la mondialisation.
You're listening to Pig English, an information series on industrial hog farming in Quebec. We just heard from Benoît Girouard, spokesperson for Union Paysanne. He gave us an overview of the integrator's role in the factory farm and Quebec's role in global agriculture. In the next segment, we'll hear more from Holly Dressel and Daniel Green, who present new and shocking research about water pollution in Ontario and Quebec and its direct links to industrial hog farms. Please stay tuned.
Qu'on savoure, voure, voure, tout entière. Quand c'est fête, 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 ménagère. Fête, 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 fête.
This is Deconstructing Dinner, and that was part one of a three-part documentary series titled Pigfish and produced by Charlotte Scott of Montreal's CKUT. The documentary explores the social, environmental, and economic impacts of industrial hog farming in the province of Quebec. And here is part two.
In the first part of the series, we explored the social and economic context of industrial farms. In this segment, we'll look into new research on the environmental effects of factory farms and find out how lax government regulation contributes to the problem. Holly Dressel, a prominent author and activist, addressed a gathering held in Kahnawake, Quebec in December 2007, hosted by Stuart Mayo Jr. She presents new research about highly resistant bacteria that is making its way from hog farms into our rivers and groundwater.
This is what they call an emerging disease. It's really, really, really scary. I'm sure all of you know of C. difficile and other hospital-borne infections that are on the rise also. We have long thought that there might be a connection between infections like C. difficile
any kind of infections, actually, that are antibiotic resistant, and the heavy use of antibiotics in the industrial farming industry. Because what they do is they feed these huge amounts of antibiotics to these trapped animals, because the animals are in very small, as you know, very small contained places. They can't move. They're very unhappy. They don't like to eat. And antibiotics, weirdly enough, subtherapeutic antibiotics, that means antibiotics that are given to animals that don't need them, that aren't actually sick with an infection, stimulate the appetite. So that an animal that is actually sick and doesn't want to eat and is miserable and wretched and all those things that these animals are, will have a false appetite when given antibiotics. So that is why the hog industry is extremely dependent on large amounts of antibiotics being fed to its stock. And doctors have been worried about this. And the CMA came out against this years ago because they could see what was down the line. What was down the line is antibiotic-resistant bacteria, because the more you use this stuff, the more the bacterias learn how to live with it, right? They're very adaptive organisms, and if you give them a lot of chance to adapt, they do so. Now, gradually over the years, we have gotten more and more scary infections. And for a long time, one of the worst ones, which is called MRSA in English, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, which I'm sure all of you, most of you should have heard of an infection called Staph. We thought it was happening in hospitals, which it is, and it makes sense because the people, they're all getting too much antibiotics and then the bug floats around. But now we have the proof that is coming out of industrial farms, both cattle and hog. Particularly hog, we have the proof. Now, it turns out that the Europeans, especially the Dutch, who, by the way, invented industrial hog farming because they don't have much land base, they invented this form of farming. They noticed it first. They started getting really creepy infections in people, and they could not, nothing would kill these infections, and people were dying. And they got desperate enough to say, well, you know, what do you do all day? What do you do for a living? And they started realizing that these people were the families of pig farmers. The children and the wives and the pig farmers themselves were dying of these things. They started testing. Now, this year, just a few months ago, Guelph University researchers did the first Canadian study in an area just like this, Western Ontario, just could be right here. They found that 45% of the hog farms, one out of five of the hog farmers, and even more of the pigs, I forget, one out of three, one out of four of the pigs, were carrying MRSA, methicillin-resistant staph. Now, methicillin means the entire family of penicillin drugs will not work on this. Sometimes you can use vancomycin. However, there is a new strain of MRSA called NT-MRSA, which you can't use anything on. And that seems to be coming out of hog farms as well. Now, it's amazing that we can't get attention on this. This disease killed more people in the U.S. last year than AIDS. It killed 19,000 people, healthy, young people. People just walking around minding their own business, because staph is not like AIDS. You don't have to, like, have sex with someone or get a blood transfusion. You can touch them. It's passed from the nose or the skin. So somebody blows their nose and hands you some money, and you scratch a mosquito bite, you're done. This is coming right at the moment when the hog farm industry is going under economically. It's always been extremely marginal because so much inputs are required, so much fossil fuels, so much heavy transport, all this stuff. So they've always depended on government subsidies, as we know. I forget, somebody's done the figuring. Did we figure a dollar a hog or something like that? And with 30 million hogs in Quebec, that's quite a lot of money that we're paying. Now the hog industry is really in trouble because of the dollar, the rise of the dollar in Canada, worldwide. They're begging the government for more of our tax dollars to keep an industry going that fills our waters with bacteria, with blue-green algae, hormones, and now is directly can be proved to cause this disease. MRSA is coming out of industrial farms. We know. I mean, we long thought there was a smoking gun when it came to dangerous infections and antibiotic resistance and hog farms. Now we've got the fingerprints on the gun. So we've got to be urged to spread this news. And we have to keep going on. I mean, talk to your doctors about it. Alert, especially in rural areas, alert your doctors to the possibility that this should be a reportable disease. They may be seeing more of it, especially in areas with hog farms. So we're paying, as Stuart said at the very beginning, this is a government-sponsored lethal disease. And our current policies of the Quebec government to favor the hog farms and subsidize them with our tax dollars are actually starting to kill the population. And in a way, it's good because we always knew that these were terrible practices, that they could not be good for the earth, they're not good for the pigs, they're not good for the food. And now perhaps that we humans are actually getting sick, we will be able to make people understand how extremely unsustainable these forms of industrial farming are.
Public concern about industrial hog farms hit a crisis point in 2003 when the outgoing provincial government imposed a moratorium on new factory farms. Here again is Holly Dressel. She's going to explain the provincial government's role in the moratorium and why those in power today continue to support an industry that is economically, socially, and environmentally destructive to the people of Quebec. Can you talk about what led to the temporary ban in 2003 in Quebec?
This all came to a head in the 90s when it became clear that all the rivers were going and that people were going out of business and so forth. And because of the experience in Holland and North Carolina, and people from North Carolina actually actively went out and warned everybody. Farmers were blocking roads with guns in North Carolina and weeping when a new hog farm would try to come in because they knew it was the end of them. This was noticed by everybody in the country. And independently in Quebec, individual citizens of each little municipality or county would get together and go, my God, what are we going to do? And they would form these little groups, coalition, this group citoyen, that. There's a lot
there's
of them.
Hundreds.
Yes, there's hundreds, hundreds. And they would each fight in their area and try to get municipal bylaws against, crates or liquid manure or whatever. And sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't. But mostly the province would always fight them. And they would be fighting the province. And eventually they started to band together more and more. And then they finally were forced to have a BAP, an environmental assessment. Now, that was fascinating. And there are still reams of material on the internet. I mean, you can go and see all these BAP testimonies. And, the CMA went, the doctors went, nurses, health people, you name it, plus the farmers, the citizens, schools, everybody went and everybody said pretty much the same thing. This is awful. Stop it. By the time the BAP was done, it was not possible for Quebec. They could have ignored it, but, it was clear what the BAP had turned up. The environmental assessment was, this is dangerous stuff. Pull back. Well, right about then, of course, they were losing power. So, you could say cynically that they didn't have anything to lose. This is a major industry in Quebec. They slapped a moratorium on it, but they were going out of power anyway, so they weren't going to suffer from that. So they put the moratorium on as they went out of power, and we were very grateful. Now, what it did, it was interesting because it did not prevent existing hog farms from expanding. And in fact, they doubled over the next 4 years in size. But it did prevent new ones from going into new areas and being built. And that was not nothing, believe me. That spared a lot of towns. But it did make the situation worse in the places where they already had a lot of hog farms. About then we had an election, and everyone in the country was very angry with the PQ because it had taken so long to get the moratorium, and it felt like that's a start. And the Liberals in the rural communities, and I can testify to this everywhere in Quebec, ran on a no hogs program. In fact, they actually had on their posters, no more hogs. And so people voted for them in mass because they were mad at the PQ for taking a decade to do anything and then not doing very much. And here was the other party saying, we'll get rid of them completely. So everyone voted for them. 4 months after the Liberals were elected, this government we're under now, the Charest government, they rescinded the moratorium. They said, oh, it's okay now. We don't need a moratorium anymore. They did not present any new scientific evidence. They claimed that they now had programs in place that would make it all okay to go back to expanding violently. Now, the programs they have in place are hilarious. You should see them. They're things like the hog producer has to plant a few trees around so that, that'll catch some of the smell. Oh, and if the smell is really bad, he has to cover his gigantic lake of liquid manure with a lid.
and a couple other things of this nature. But there's a caveat. If it costs him too much money, he doesn't have to.
Even beyond the social strife that's happening in communities, even beyond the question of animal welfare, if we even put these aside, it's going to be costing the government huge amounts of money as people start to get sick, as they get older, as the environment mm-hmm. deteriorates. So why do they continue supporting an industry that's going to actually end up costing them money? I mean, it's already costing them millions of dollars because they're subsidizing the industry. So who's benefiting from this outpouring of money and this outpouring of raw sewage into the waterways?
Well, I think whenever you have a situation where an industry becomes powerful and has cronies and lobbyists and gets used to getting their subsidies, it's very difficult to stop that. I mean, it used to be the railroads long ago, or steel mills, or chemical companies. You know, this is still true of industries like Monsanto. They have very good lobbyists. They convince the government various things. I don't know if there's any graft going on, but, you know, like sometimes you got to wonder, right? I mean, you know, is there some kind of direct profit certain government members are getting out of this? Because once you had the BAPs and everything, we thought, well, okay, it's a no-brainer. They can't play this game anymore. As you say, it's gone. And yet the Liberal government does not give any really good reason why they rescinded the moratorium. Now, we are all forced to notice that a lot of short-term stuff goes on in governments. Stunning. I mean, like, you know, Mulroney, getting handed a bag of cash, you know, and as a prime minister and thinking nothing of it. I mean, you know, these are practices that give you like a quick little photographic glimpse into the kind of stuff that goes on and is obviously accepted by even people in the highest offices. So, you know, I don't know. Nobody gives people fighting industrial farms bags of money. So we don't really know if that's what's happening.
You're listening to Pigfish, an information series on industrial hog farms in Quebec. What are citizens to do when governments and corporations side with one another to the detriment of public health? In the last segment of Pigfish, we'll hear from scientist Daniel Green from Rive Quebec. He creates accessible and effective ways for citizens to test and prove water pollution. We'll also hear from rural Quebecers who have succeeded in stopping industrial hog farms. Please stay tuned.
You're tuned in to Deconstructing Dinner, a weekly one-hour radio show and podcast that is usually recorded at Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY, in Nelson, British Columbia. However, today, Deconstructing Dinner is on the road, and this broadcast has been recorded in Toronto, Ontario, just prior to departing to the cities of Kingston, Ottawa, and then ending up in Montreal, where this year's annual conference of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the NCRA, will be held. I'm John Steinman. In light of the radio station hosting this year's NCRA conference being CKUT, it seems fitting to share an excellent documentary produced by CKUT's Charlotte Scott as part of today's episode. The production is titled Pigfish, Industrial Hog Farming in Quebec. Recorded in May 2008, the production features the voices of authors Holly Dressel and Denise Prue, Benoit Girouard of the Union Paysanne, and Daniel Green of the Sierra Club of Canada, among others. If you miss any of today's episode, it will be archived on our website at deconstructingdinner.ca and posted under the June 4th, 2009 broadcast.
In the final segment of the series, we'll find out what scientists and citizens are doing to stop factory farms in Quebec. Daniel Green is a scientist and activist with the Sierra Club of Canada in Rive, Quebec. He presented some of his past victories to an audience gathered in Kahnawake, Quebec in December 2007 and demonstrated his homemade coliform testing kits.
I'll present myself. Mon nom est Daniel Green. I work for the Sierra Club of Canada and the Société Provinciale de la Pollution. I'm here to talk to you about what I've been up to in the fight to protect our waterways.
Alors, je vais commencer en français. Cet été,
suite à une présentation que j'ai fait ici, on a commencé à faire un projet qui s'appelle RIVE, le réseau d'inspection et de vérification des eaux, où le projet s'appelle en anglais Water Analysis by Volunteers Network. Et en collaboration avec le Journal de Montréal, on a commencé à systématiquement analyser la pollution des cours d'eau. On a utilisé le kit CollyPlate, vous en souvenez? The CollyPlate Sampling Kit. So the RIVE program went very well this summer. We sampled approximately maybe 50 pollution points in a large area around Montreal, and we found many pollution points. It started out to be a community action. Donc, ce qui est intéressant avec le programme RIVE, c'est que le programme RIVE a commencé à être une action dite communautaire, où les communautés analysent leur eau, mais on a aussi fait des primeurs. Alors, c'était le programme RIVE qui a démontré que les bateaux croisières dans le port de Montréal déversaient directement dans le fleuve. C'est le programme RIVE qui a démontré que l'auberge gouverneur à l'île Charon, une auberge de 4 étoiles, 200 chambres, déversait directement son pipi et son caca dans le fleuve. On a démontré que des toilettes à la ronde déversaient leur pipi et leur caca directement dans le fleuve. On a démontré que l'île des Sœurs, qui a des maisons, des condos, qui valent à peu près $1 million, était illégalement connectée à l'égout pluvial et polluait directement le fleuve. On a démontré à la rivière de l'Assomption que les usines d'épuration de Repentigny épuraient un peu, mais déversaient beaucoup dans le fleuve. On a démontré la même chose pour les usines d'épuration de Montréal. By the way, we showed this here also in Ganawake at the pumping station close to the canoe club, where a pumping station, when it rained, too much water did not go to the sewage treatment plant in Ganawake, was discharged directly into the water. And we show that with high levels of coliform counts. Ce que nous on fait, c'est ce que le gouvernement ne fait pas. On identifie les tuyaux, on prouve la connexion entre le tuyau et le pollueur. On étudie beaucoup de bénévoles du Sierra Club, de la Société pour vaincre la pollution et de la Coalition de secours. La technologie nous permet maintenant de faire des analyses littéralement à la maison pour les pollueurs. Pas besoin d'envoyer ça au laboratoire. Ah, c'est toujours très intéressant. Always interesting to see the people seeing the results. WaveNet is going to continue next year. According to a meeting we had with Sierra Club, they even want WaveNet to be expanded across Canada. It's a great way to get volunteers to train people in water testing. There is not a person in this room that cannot test their water. You do not need a PhD in microbiology. You just need a bit of training, a bit of equipment, and you can test the quality of the water in front of your home. You can test your well water. You can test the stream. You can test pollution events. You can do it. We'll be expanding RIVE, not just for coliform testing, but nitrates, phosphates. We now have a colorimetric test, change of color test, presence or absence, literally a pregnancy test for cyanobacteria toxins. Okay, so this is the CollyPlate. It's very, very simple. 96 wells, micro wells, 400 microliters per well. On the bottom of every well, there's a little donut, une petite pastille. In that donut contains nutrients and also chemicals that react with chemicals that the E. coli bacteria emit. Okay, the E. coli bacteria, when it's in your gut, it emits enzymes to predigest things like sugars and things like that that it needs to live. So these chemicals in these little, so when you put water, fill up every well with water, the bacteria of your polluted water will dissolve the little donut. This will feed the bacteria will multiply, and the bacteria will start emitting these chemicals, and there is a color reaction, and when you have the presence of at least one E. coli in a well, the well will turn blue, okay? And if that coliform is an E. coli, it will fluoresce with UV light. So here is a little homemade incubator that we build with using a cardboard box and aluminum foil and a 40-watt lamp. And it works very, very well. We use this all summer. We did some verifications with labs this summer, and we have very good adequation between the lab results and our CollyPlate results. It's quick, it's colorimetric, and you can do it literally anywhere. This is Holly's orange juice. Let's pretend that Holly's orange juice is full of blue-green algae. Dipstick, one bar. That's okay, two bars. Well, congratulations. Your glass is pregnant with microcystin toxins. So these are new technologies that are available. Anybody with these testing kits can do a diagnostic of water quality in their backyard. Donc, c'est une démocratisation essentiellement de la science. Le programme RIE fait beaucoup de promotion de ce que j'appelle science citoyenne, citizen scientist, avec un peu de formation, avec un peu de méthode, et avec ces kits-là, on peut vraiment analyser la qualité des eaux. L'objectif fondamental, c'est pas de simplement analyser la pollution, c'est de l'arrêter. And the WaveNet program is not just to analyze pollution, it's to stop it. And this is what we did this summer. 3 weeks after we sampled Auberge du Gouverneur, the bulldozers were there, they connected this hotel to the Longueuil sewage treatment plant. 3 days after we identified La Ronde, the pipe was condemned, and now it's sent for the sewage treatment at L'Île Notre-Dame sewage treatment plant. As we speak, in Île-des-Sœurs, these illegal connections are being redone. The cruise ships, every single cruise ship has promised by spring of 2008 they will no longer discharge, they're installing holding tanks. They're asking permission for Transport Canada. So we had some successes. We identified pollution. We sampled pollution. We showed pollution coming from polluter A into River B, and we stopped pollution. And we did it with no government help, just by working with the media. So it can be done. It can be done.
You're listening to Pigfish, an information series on industrial hog farms in Quebec. We just heard from Daniel Green, a scientist with the Sierra Club and Rive Quebec. Next up, three community members talk about their experiences and successes with citizen science.
My name's Tony King. I live in Elgin. A bunch of us, I can't remember who exactly, but we had 8 or 9 coliform plates, and we got them from various streams around the neighborhood, ditches, streams, and brought them over to my place and incubated them. I suppose that's already been explained here. Incubated them in the incubator at a temperature of 98 or 99 degrees. Let's see, there's 10 coliform plates. One, which I took from my kitchen tap in my sink, I have a deep well. After it incubated for 24 hours, everything was yellow. There was no discoloration whatsoever in it. So the other 8 or 9, all of them except one were completely, completely blue-green. And one of them, and oddly enough, I shouldn't qualify this, but the one that was only 2/3 blue-green was the one that was, oddly enough, closest to the pig farm. So I didn't bother writing down a bunch of statistics because it was something that's in my head. It's so simple. It was eight of them were completely, completely blue-green.
My name is Kathleen Johnston, and I'm a member of La Coalition Rurale du Haut-Saint-Laurent. We're a small group. Most of our members are from Elgin, the municipality of Elgin, but we have a few people from Hinchinbrook, and Holly, you're from St. Chrysostome, Franklin. And we started to do CollyPlate tests just at the end of October. We did about 6 or 7, I think. I don't have the report with me. We did 2 small rivers close to Ormstown, streams really, and 3 or 4 in Elgin. We have a pig farm in Elgin, and we also have a pig farm in Ormstown as well. And the result with our collie plates was that they were all blue. Every single one of them that was tested, except for somebody's tap water, they were all blue, all our cells. We haven't done the E. coli test, but that's the next thing that we're going to do. We'll continue doing this. This is just our very first try, so it's obviously important.
My name is Patricia Woods, and I belong to a citizens' environmental group called the Comité des Citoyens de Saint-Bernard-de-l'École, which is the southernmost municipality directly south of Montreal before you reach New York State. And as I was explaining, 5 years ago, we got wind of the fact that there was a consortium that had approached a farmer to buy some land and have a maternity installation. There would have been 2,400 sows and all of the piglets that would ensue. But in order for him to do that, he had to buy a lot from the farmer. The farmer was going to get free manure and to spread on his corn and soya, which he was claiming to do biologically. But, I mean, industrial shit for organic farming, it doesn't really make sense. However, we were able to stop the project because there was maybe an 80-20 split in the population against this kind of industrial model. And also we got the sympathy of the mayor and the councillors by just showing up at community meetings and municipal meetings and making enough noise that they finally couldn't come to the point of saying, no, you cannot have this kind of farm, but you have to observe the regulations that we're going to pass, including full treatment of the manure. It's like a city's sewage treatment, very, very expensive. So that really slowed them down. And then the moratorium came along, and we had a couple of years of breathing room. And in the meantime, the hog industry is going down the tubes. It's the pigs are sick, the dollar is strong, and that makes a recipe that makes this kind of agriculture less and less appealing.
So I'm curious about the logistical aspects for people around Montreal who are facing similar circumstances where, they want to form a citizens' coalition to create change on an environmental level, whether it's upholding moratoriums, whether there's, say, a mine or a pig farm or something like that that's about to be developed in their area. What steps would you suggest for citizens' action?
Well, that's a tough one because you really need a focal point. And something that really helped us was we had a very generous donation from one of the wealthier residents of our community who donated enough money to buy this documentary film Bacon to distribute a video cassette to every household. So anyone who didn't know about the nastiness of these pig operations got a very an excellent crash course, and people came out in droves. So I think the first step is to sensitize the population.
While the problem of industrial hog farming is not going away anytime soon, community groups are working together to find ways to resist the industrial model and to bring the worst environmental and social excesses of industrial agriculture to the attention of the public. Once again, Benoît Girouard with Union Paysanne with a discussion of organic animal farming as the sustainable alternative, and Holly Dressel with some suggestions for urbanites who want to get involved in the struggle for environmental and social health in rural Quebec. Je voulais savoir si vous pouvez parler un petit peu des alternatives. Can you talk about alternatives to the current situation? De tout ça.
Ben, écoutez, le bio est effectivement, et le terroir aussi, je mets le bio, je mets le terroir. La vente à la ferme est actuellement, ce qui peut être probablement une des portes de sortie. Parce que, bon, de tous les secteurs agricoles.
Organic and local agriculture is one of the ways out. Because of all the agricultural sectors, organic is the only sector that is seeing the arrival of new, young, and less young farmers. Currently, of the 900 organic farms in Quebec, half of these do not come from multi-generational farming families. It's the only sector that has seen positive growth in over 20 years.
Alors, c'est vraiment un accroissement du nombre d'agriculteurs dans ce secteur-là. Et c'est ça, c'est le seul secteur depuis plus de 20 ans qui connaît ce changement-là. Sans compter que, ben, effectivement, que la vente, je pense que d'un côté, les commerçants.
Consumers and farmers are now aware that we have to reappropriate the food chain from corporations. Direct sales and local organic farms are the best way to get around the current system and to rebuild a new model of agriculture.
Une importante façon là, de contourner le système et de bâtir, surtout de construire un nouveau modèle d'alimentation.
So what's the next step for these coalitions, for people who have just become aware of the magnitude of what we're facing here?
Well, what these rural coalitions, they've come together about as much as they can. I mean, we have, you know, municipal, ecosystem, county, provincial and Canadian coalitions of people fighting this. We can't go any further. What we don't have is enough urban people who are aware of it because, let's face it, the rural vote is not a big deal in most cases. It's not something that really pushes society or pushes politicians very much. And I think that we need to make urban people aware that this is your water. Your food, you are just, in fact, more likely to get sick from these practices than country people. Because if you think about it, I mean, around me, I only have to worry about the hog farms that are upstream of me. But they're all upstream of you. And not only that, I know how dangerous that meat is. I will not touch it. I have not eaten industrial pork meat since I learned about this stuff. Because believe me, if you've seen some of the footage of how the animals are raised and what they eat, you would never, ever eat it again. I get plenty of bacon and pork. I belong to co-ops. I get it from my neighbors. We've raised it in some cases ourselves. And I'm not saying that people should stop eating pork if they like it. By buying it, you increase the number of farmers who can go, well, gee, I could ask enough money for these pigs that I could raise them properly. We should spend more on our food. We should spend what is necessary to make good, pure, wholesome food, whatever that is. And if that means we eat less meat, you know, that would not hurt us very much, would it? And if the industry was not so big, well, all that would mean is that some great big international conglomerates would be less rich. What I would want to see is more work between the rural people and the urban people. You put some pressure on the government that comes not just from, oh, those few, it's a rural issue, it's just those few people out in the country, but that comes from everybody saying, we want good food, stop destroying our farmers, stop destroying our farmland. That's what we need. We need urban people to care about what they eat, what they're breathing, and what they're drinking.
You've been listening to Pigfish, an information series on industrial hog farming in Quebec. Many thanks to Holly Dressel, Benoit Girouard, Denise Proulx, Daniel Green, Stuart Mayo, Jr. and Sr., and all of the researchers and activists who are working to improve the health of Quebec's people, her animals, her economy, and her environment. For more information and to get involved, please visit the following websites. www.rural.ca BeyondFactoryFarming.ca, UnionPaysanne.com, and www.sierraclub.ca. My name is Charlotte Scott for CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Thank you very much for listening.
This is Deconstructing Dinner, and that concludes the last part in the documentary, Pigfish, a look into industrial hog farming in Quebec. The series was produced by Charlotte Scott at Montreal's CKUT, and a big thanks to her and the station for making that production available. The full one-hour episode of today's broadcast has been archived on our website at deconstructingdinner.ca and posted under the June 4th, 2009 broadcast. That was this week's edition of Deconstructing Dinner, a weekly radio show out of Nelson, British Columbia's Kootenai Co-op Radio. Today's broadcast has been recorded in Toronto, Ontario, and I've been your host, John Steinman. The theme music for Deconstructing Dinner is courtesy of Nelson area resident Adam Shake, and this radio program is provided free of charge to campus community radio stations across the country and relies on the financial support from you, the listener. Support for the program can be donated through our website at deconstructingdinner.ca or by dialing 250-352-9600.